And now it's time to join Diana O'Carroll for a snappy question of the week.
This week, it's been more than just a while for the crocodile.
My name is Mike from Battersea in London. My question is about the stability of change with crocodiles. We learn from various sources that all birds, incredible variety of birds, came from a small pool of dinosaurs, and mammals apparently all came from a shrew-like creature. I just wondered why crocodiles seem to be very stable over the same sort of period. Is there something special about their DNA, or is it just the environmental factors that keep them moulded the way that they are?
So why have crocs not bothered with changing for so long?
My name is Michael Benton. I'm Professor of Vertebrate Paleontology at the University of Bristol. Crocodiles are extraordinary animals. They're not very common. There's only about 15 species of them on the Earth today, and they haven't really changed very much for the last 200 million years, or at least to our eyes, they haven't. There are two reasons that people sometimes give to try and explain this phenomenon. We call them living fossils, meaning animals or plants that haven't apparently changed very much. It's not a very precise term, so we have to be very cautious about it. It may just be our perception. They look the same to us. But those explanations are either that they're hugely successful, on the one hand, or on the other hand, that they're just doing something that nothing else wants to do. So a kind of strongly positive and a somewhat negative interpretation. So the highly successful argument is that crocodiles are doing something remarkably well. They're preying on animals, fish, and land animals in fresh water generally, sometimes in salt water. They're feeding in a particularly beastly manner, and nothing else can compete. And they do it so well that there's no reason for them to change their mode of behavior. The other explanation is that they're doing something so obscure that perhaps no other animal is interested or has had any evolutionary pressure that it should evolve into this particular niche, and therefore nothing is really competing with crocodiles, so they can just potter on doing what they've been doing for the last 200 million years, and nothing in evolution is driving them to change.
So crocodiles may not have changed because they don't have to, there's nothing competing with them, or because they're just so perfectly adapted to their own niche. Sharks have also been around for a few hundred million years, but have seen a few more changes, including size. The megalodon shark could have been 20 metres long when it was still swimming about 2 million years ago, as opposed to the modern great white, which is big enough at 6 metres in length. And on to some more animal differences for next week's question.
Well, hi, Chris. This is Max from Toronto in Canada. I have a question regarding blood types. Why do we humans have different types of blood? And is it an evolutionary thing? Where does it come from and what's the purpose of it? Also, do animals have any blood types as well? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Why have different blood types? Is there any advantage? Let us know your answer by emailing chris@thenakedscientists.com or by writing on the forum at thenakedscientists.com/forum.
Diana O'Carroll with this week's Question of the Week. You can find more episodes of Question of the Week on our website at nakedscientist.com/QOTW or as a podcast in its own right on iTunes, just to search for Naked Scientist Question of the Week. Well, that's it for this week, and thank you very much for joining in. Thank you also to Yosef Barash, who joined us at the beginning of the programme, and also to our wonderful production team, including Mira Senthilingam, Ben Vowsler, Diana O'Carroll, Dave Ansell and Kat Arney, who you've heard this week. We are back next time with a look at the science of synthetic biology, how we can make artificial enzymes and even artificial life. So send us your thoughts, questions or feedback. In the meantime, to chris@thenakedscientist.com, and do join us next week, I hope. Until then, goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.